appreciate when Bob Walters will give updates on the call committee. And I know if they were to ask me a question that I think should be asked to any candidate, I know, I told them in Sunday school class today what the question should be. It's not how toilet paper should be rolled either. That's not the question. I'll tell you what the question is. Let's first say our brief prayer and ask God's guidance to look at his word today. Father, thank you for many blessings today. The song that encourages us that when our time is here and we go to be in eternity, Father, we will experience worship like we cannot come close to imagining. Father, we are blessed by the voices of children singing. We're blessed by the reading of your word, Father. And now, Father, as we look into your word and consider what it says to us today, we ask, God, that you would be glorified and that we, your people, would be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'll be honest, my background is a little all over the map. Raised in the Church of the Brethren, baptized at 12. Not even sure even at 12 I fully grasped the immensity of God. But I knew it was a spiritual experience. At 12 years old, I went through catechism, and then I got away from God. And then went to an evangelical free church for a lot of years. Really gave my heart to the Lord in a serious way. I said, Eric, if you're going to be a pagan the right way. If you're going to be a Christian, then be a Christian the right way. Just either go big or go home kind of thing. And I've been in other denominational settings, and I certainly am enjoying and embracing being in a Lutheran setting. I really have appreciated the nuances of being Lutheran. I have a fairly theologically conservative background, if you don't know that. I think that always should be tempered a little bit with love and the Holy Spirit. But I have a fairly conservative theological background. And I think an important question for any candidate would be, what do you think of the Word of God, the Bible? What do you believe? Is the Bible an inspired document that is different than any others, or is it just another human document written by a couple people thousands of years ago? That's an important, I would want to know that. Because as someone who takes the Bible seriously, as you do too, I want to passionately seek out what it says to me so I can obey it. But I think it's important as we do that, as we seek out the Word of God, that we don't make the same mistake that this synagogue leader made that I'm going to talk about. Now, I'm going to walk through our text briefly this morning. Plenty of time. You told me, Ted, that my sermon did not have to be longer than an hour and a half. So I have at least an hour to go. Keep the blood pressure down. I'm kidding. I'm going to move through this quickly. But I do want to step through the text because, like I said in Sunday school, when you read a text, and you read it again, there's something that jumps out that you didn't get the first time. So I'm just going to read through my text. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. Give me a sec. So this condition that she had, some of you, we like science. We like science. And a little secret, even people in ministry and pastors, when we see those big words in the Bible, those big names, we get nervous too and hope we don't say it wrong. But I'm reading a medical term today. And so if you know this medical term and I have it wrong, if you're in healthcare and I'm saying this wrong and you're familiar, I ask for your forgiveness. But the commentators pinned down what they believe her true diagnosis was. This woman who was bent over, I'm going to try to say this, spondylitis acrylopiotica. Tabby. Was I even close to your familiar? Maybe you're not familiar with that, but it was a a condition of people are laughing, and that's okay. I didn't go to med school. I wanted to pass. But there was a condition, and it was a fused bone condition. So if I'm even close, I get a snack, right? I get a snack, even trying. She had this condition, so I think it's important to understand this was someone who for 18 long years was in pain. And I know a lot of you understand pain. But it was pain that she was unable to stand up. You know, we stand up, a lot of us will stand up, and we try to say up here, stand as you're able. Because we know there's people out there that's not an easy thing to do, to stand up. You have pain or something. So we get that. But we know that there are people who are in pain. And so she was in pain for 18 years. 18 years. Now, it's also important to keep in mind, in that culture, women were not highly respected all the time. So here she is tiptoeing some way, bent over into the synagogue. And Jesus notices her. He could have ignored her. He calls her out. He called her forward. He said, come on up front. Not just say, come on up. Come on up. He said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Can you imagine being there? Now, you would think everyone in that room would be happy. Not everyone was. And what's even more sadly is the synagogue ruler, the leader, the spiritual leader, was not just disappointed quietly, but indignant. The Greek is very strong. Indignant, angered by this. He says, put his hand, indignant because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, that he doesn't just address Jesus. He's going, hey, don't do that. But he addresses the crowd, the group, and he says to them, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Why don't you come back on Monday or Wednesday? Do it then. There are 6 other opportunities for you to pull off this healing. Not today. Not today. And the Lord answered him, you hypocrite. So this response, Jesus is not just responding to the synagogue, but he's addressing to him, the synagogue leader. And there were likely a couple who were standing right with that synagogue leader shaking their heads. He didn't say, hey, you hypocrite. You hypocrites! You hypocrites. So he was addressing the whole lot of those who were standing with him. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox and donkey and from the stall lead it out to give it water? See, I have some notes here. I'm trying to stick with them a little bit here. There were 39 forms in the rabbinic writings of work that you should just not do. A couple of them were tolerated. Taking your cattle, as long as the cattle or the donkey wasn't carrying a load, don't do that. But if the donkey is not, you can go ahead and take it for water. So you can care for your animal. This woman, who's a daughter of Abraham, she's a person who is made in the image of God, but not just made in the image of God. She is as just in the lineage of Abraham as you grouchy people are. Not you. That's as he was saying to them. You're not grouchy. You're happy. This woman who's a daughter of Abraham, precious child of God, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day? From what bound her? Really? It doesn't say that in the Greek, but it might have. Really? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. So those who were standing with that synagogue leader were very red-faced and probably embarrassed that he's now addressing them for their callousness and their hard-heartedness. But when he said this, everyone else in the church, the synagogue, we'll just say the church, but everyone else in that synagogue delighted at the wonderful things he was doing. We talked about this text in Sunday school, and I have one main point I'm going to give it to you in about 25 seconds, between 25 and 35 seconds. Don't look at your watch. I could have gone different ways with this text. And where I was led as I prayed about this text was this. People like me and you who take the Bible seriously and want to strive to be obedient, understand, and be obedient to the Word of God, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. The synagogue leader was striving. He likely was challenging Jesus from Deuteronomy 5, where it talked about the Sabbath. So he would probably say, that synagogue leader would probably say, well, my Old Testament says this, Jesus. He was likely using a scriptural basis for his challenge to Jesus. Jesus was not going to have any part of that. And I actually got an extra sermon point for Sunday school today. You're going to get both of them. But I'm going to talk quick. Here's the main thing that I think I got from this text. The synagogue leader and those who stood with him, their interpretation of Scripture was so rigid and uncompromising that it was void of the Holy Spirit and the power of love for people. They had the passages correct in a sense. They interpreted them correctly in a sense, but it was without compassion. Unless it accommodated his lifestyle or agenda. He was okay with taking his cattle down and get water, but do not heal this poor woman on a Sabbath. If you and I, we should, as the people of God, as faithful Lutherans, we should seek the Word of God, what it says. That is our God. That is our God. That is our guide. The Bible is our guide in seeking God. Okay? But when we interpret a passage without the Holy Spirit's love and the tempering of love for human condition, then we're a loud, noisy symbol. We should take the Bible seriously, but when we interpret and understand it and seek what it understands and seek to be obedient, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance and love. And we need compassion for humanity. Everyone is in the same place we are. People are in different places. May we not be like that synagogue leader. Amen.